Blog Talk Radio.
And as the match blows its final whistle, the Four You Seen Fire American Soccer Show is already underway as we once again Copa America Centenario review shows here as we discuss Group D action in these matches. Joining me, of course, from the Yellow Carded podcast, Stephen Brandt, as we have another fun-filled night of Copa America Centenario games. And, you know, this was the top bill tonight. Argentina, Chile, revenge match for Argentina because, Stephen, Chile defeated them in penalties in the Copa America final last summer down in Chile. And, you know, this was a great match from start to finish.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised it didn't start out in a full brawl there. I mean, you had a couple players poking. I mean, I think this is what's going to drive some of the people away from watching, because South American soccer is a lot more dirty than what we're all paid to see. Because we only see Europe, and we don't see many fights. We don't see many people poking each other. We don't have a lot of Gonzalo Jara over there. So you're seeing a lot of real chippy stuff in the fort. Fortunately, you didn't see enough cards come out in this game. And no, with Argentina, they could sacrifice not having Messi out there for this one. I mean, I know Fox was just jonesing for Lionel Messi to be out there. So, I mean, it was every break we were seeing something about him. And, I mean, if I'm Cristiano Ronaldo, I'm having a huge issue with Fox right now. Now, I know he's probably not in America. He probably doesn't really care, and he's not signing for Colorado Rapids this year. But for them point blank saying that Messi is the best, that's in media. You can't be that biased.
Very true.
In reality, yeah, you can't be that biased.
Mm-hmm.
But what I saw today, and it's something I've kind of figured out. We saw with Chile, and our good friend Cardiff was bringing this up, is that Claudio Bravo had a bad game, and Cardiff's a little bit nice on Bravo. He was considering him one of the top five goalkeepers in the world. I think he's vastly overrated, and it just showed again. I mean, you put another shirt on him, you put him at Swansea or East Forfar, and he's a decent goalkeeper.
Yeah,
it's where you play is what matters.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, on the first goal by Angel Di Maria, I thought he just misplayed that ball terribly. You see Di Maria getting a nice pass, and I thought, you know, Di Maria, of course, he's got a fantastic shot. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he deserved the goal and beat him, but still, though, I thought Bravo was in very poor position by the near post, and he should have done better on it. I thought that was a save he should have made.
Yeah, exactly. Di Maria is a much better player than we let on. I mean, he was partially ruined by Man United. But, I mean, if you go and look at what all that was, he never wanted to go to Man United. Real Madrid does not deal with Paris Saint-Germain. So, rumor mongers out there, Ronaldo's not going to PSG this year. Just step back and think about it.
That's right.
So, I mean, yeah, I was glad to see this with Argentina, that they could pull out more of their stars and not rely on Messi, because that's the big question of the Copa, is when is Argentina going to win their cup in this generation. When are they going to put a title on themselves? And
mm-hmm.
If they could skate to the quarters without having to use Lionel Messi,
mm-hmm.
it's fine. I mean, it's like the United States playing without Nagy.
Yep.
Well, not the same thing. Nagy's not the Portland version of Lionel Messi, but that Argentina can get by with it, and that is what's out. I mean, there is so much talent on that Argentina team, and I just wonder what is really the problem, why they're not winning more. Is it they're not a cohesive unit? Is there not a good locker room?
Don't know.
And I beg to wonder, because all those players win titles everywhere else. I mean, Lionel Messi's got, what, 30 titles in his name? He's, what, only 28?
I know.
At the most?
Exactly.
I mean, so,
and
he has a
tax evasion case going on against him in Spain.
Yeah. And apparently Jose Mourinho wants him at Man United this year.
Why not? I mean, you know, I don't think he'll ever leave Barcelona, Lionel Messi, but still, though, he can try his best, unless the tax laws are easier in England. Who knows? But we'll see what.
His buyout clause is something obscene. It's something like $190 million.
Yep.
To get him. It's something obscene. So, I mean, to pull him out of there would be hard. Now, it might help them, but, again, Messi's a tiny, tiny man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. But he does so many wonderful things with the ball at his feet. But I will say this. I thought it was a smart move from the head coach, from Tata Martino, to not play Messi after he suffered a I would say a slight injury in that friendly in Honduras. And apparently, I don't know who it was that injured him. Apparently, Messi is a god in Central America. And I found this out from a reporter who was Honduran at Red Bull Arena before the break came, that Messi, all the Hondurans were booing the player every time he touched the ball because he injured Messi. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
You're booing your own man because of the greatness that Lionel Messi is and has done. It's just unbelievable what you hear about this, and it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. Just crazy stuff, man. Just crazy stuff you hear, what goes on. I mean, it's like, you know, Rafa Marquez gets booed every time he touches the ball in Mexico because he played for Barcelona and not for Real Madrid. Can you imagine that?
Well, but we're sitting here as fans. I mean, if you saw walking down the street Eli Manning, you would walk the other way because you're a Jets fan.
Of course.
Now, if you saw Bill Belichick, you'd throw an egg at him. Most normal, sane people would throw something at him and walk away. So it's
right.
Basically the same thing. I mean, America's getting this way about their teams, and I'd be interested to see per round or per tournament, what is the overall viewership for soccer for this summer?
Mm-hmm.
I have a real big problem with these people that constantly tout that the numbers are bad. It's something seems weird about it because there's so many people watching this. I mean, I don't watch Men in Blazers because I can't stand their show. But they had Katie Nolan on there. Now Katie Nolan has said that she is not a huge soccer fan. That's
right.
A big wig at Fox, and she knows Rachel Banana quite well. She was on their show talking about soccer like she knew it.
Right.
So, I mean, this is kind of hitting big. Now, also, and I could see why they're late, but having a game start on the East Coast at 10 p.m.?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's for the Los Angeles market right there.
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
The numbers are bad.
That's right.
I mean, I would have, to be honest with you, put this game on before. I mean,
mm-hmm.
why did we need to see Panama, Bolivia as the early game? Why?
Yep.
I mean,
I will
yes,
say,
Boss Press plays here in the States. Okay, good
mm-hmm.
enough. But
yep.
why else?
I mean, basically, you got a couple of players that play in Major League Soccer for the Panamanian national team. And, you know, they just found a way to do some magic here against Bolivia, and they've just basically won. Oh, and that's the second goal they showed, put it in by Argentina on replay. The shot was deflected, so that's just an amazing thing to see this, what's been going on. But I will say this, that, you know, Panama, give them tons of credit. They just give Panama tons of credit in their match against Bolivia. I mean, they were, you know, on fire from start to finish. And, of course, it's Blas Perez who does the deed to get Panama the first ever Copa America victory.
Yeah, which is nice. But that was another game that was going to start in a brawl real soon. This is going to happen. And I have a sneaky suspicion. Someone gets chippy against the United States. Who's going to step up? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have benched. I would put it mildly. I have a feeling if he was on the field, Timmy Howard would go after someone. You have a bunch of choir boys out there right now. You're seeing Panama, and that was a fun game, and I'm glad they were there and won. And it was actually fun to listen to it, that it was Ronaldo and Mark Falwell doing the game. So it was kind of interesting to hear different voices on the national stage doing it. And you know, this Copa is going to be a real eye-opener to most of the United States watching soccer, because people like to think that these players play overseas in Europe and that it's not that hard of a sport. Spoiler alert, the Copa's a real dangerous couple games. I mean, not a couple games, couple rounds. I mean, look at it out there. I mean, by the time we get to Friday with the Euro Cup and England bat falling out historically,
right,
we're going to see two different things there. And, you know, I'm glad that Sergio Aguero got on late, because that's the next name. That Higuain and Messi are the names that a lot of – got to really base it on who are the biggest names and who are going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently now we have an article that came out here on Reuters, written by – who wrote this one? Trying to see the man who wrote it, because I want to give the guy Andrew Downey, who is in Sao Paulo. Apparently now the head of the Uruguayan FA believes that it was a mistake to hold – the Centenary Copa in the U.S. He claims it's a mistake because there's no real passion in the United States for the game, which I beg to differ. There's passion for this game. It's just that, you know, it's taken a long time to get to that level, of course, with MLS and our other leagues as well. But, you know, everyone loves, you know, to watch the Premier League. You know, there's those that love watching the leagues in Europe. There are those that love watching their leagues in South America. You know, there's just so many television channels now that you can get everything and anything. So I don't understand. I mean, if he's screaming sour grapes because of the way like I said last night, Stephen, you know, I don't blame Uruguay for being upset that their national anthem was not played during, you know, after the teams walked onto the field over at Glendale. I mean, that was a serious mistake. It should never have happened. But just because that happened, don't assume or don't say comments that, you know, well, there's no passion here. You know, they don't feel it here. And, of course, he also said the tournament was made to give Mexico a Copa America title, which, I mean, hey, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, Mexico, I mean, you know, I just felt that that's just the wrong way to go. But what are you going to do, man? You know, it's sour grapes, unfortunately, it sounds like.
Well, let's be honest here. We don't America is an emerging soccer-supporting country. We're still light years behind the rest of the world. Are we good right now? Yeah, of course. But compared to South America, how many times have you gone to a game? Okay, let's take Portland out of this because they have a guy on a chainsaw. They have a guy on a chainsaw there. So that's not anywhere else in the world. How many times have you gone to an arena and you go to Red Bull games where you've actually been afraid for your life? Probably never.
Never.
Yeah. Try walking into an Argentina game.
I know.
They freaking burn both sides of the stadium. I mean, heck, in Turkey, a team got relegated and they burned the freaking stadium to the ground.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look overseas, we're not as passionate about it, and I'm not going to get into the pink elephant in the room on that one, but we're not as passionate about it because, spoiler alert, we've only really had major soccer for 20-plus years because we had those barren years in the 80s when we weren't able to build it up. So, yes,
right.
Our passion is not as good as South America, but you know what? If you wanted to, I bet the Uruguayan FA president, and I wonder how much he was paid off to say that, on where you can stash a tournament in short notice and pull it off.
Yeah.
We're bigger than South America. We're bigger than Europe. Pull this off. Now, I have issues with the games being here because it's a blatant cash grab. Those tickets are stupidly expensive because my dad and I wanted to go to Philly for a game. We looked at the prices and said neither of us can afford it.
That's right.
I'm not going to dump $1,000 into a game. When you can go to, I mean, Red Bull tickets are what, $30?
Something, yeah.
I know when I went to the Columbus Crew game, they were $30. Now, that's reasonable. I mean, I know England screams about their tickets every now and then, and I scream about England right back. But, you know, trying to say that we moved this for anything else, let's remember, put this on. Every president or FIFA member that put on the Copa is in jail.
That's right.
So he may have a little bit of a point here. But calling sour grapes in FIFA gets Loretta Lynch out. And I don't want to get that woman mad anymore because she might arrest a whole other sport.
You watch, the NFL's next.
Oh, please. She's going to get mad at something. I joked with my dad. I mean, we didn't get a World Cup for, what, 20 years? So she just basically arrested the whole damn sport.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really all of her. I mean, if you read The Ugly Game, most of it was tipped off by the Brits.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful book. You'll have to take a bath after every paragraph in that one because you'd feel dirty.
I might have to shower twice.
I'm interested because I sent the book down to Cardick. I'm really interested to see what his mind is like after that one because that was just a weird one. But you know, getting back to the Copa, I'm glad they're doing two games a night. Because on the Monday of June, what is there on? Baseball. There's 182 games. I mean, my Royals are going through a slump right now, so I'm not going to watch that. This is a good way to get the next generation in. And I know I have to skip three generations if I say that, but for the young kids to get in and actually watch the sport, because for them to watch soccer, it's not like we had to. For you to get into the sports, you had to have your parents take you to the games.
That's right.
I had to be taken to the games. Nowadays, and I discussed this with my father, he was upset that he couldn't afford to get SU tickets anymore. Why?
Really?
You could see, personal PSLs.
Ah.
But yeah, PSLs, I have huge issues with it. I saw that stuff come out about 15 years ago. I said, there are those ticket sales. But you can watch everything nowadays. And with DVRs, they're on. So, I mean, the numbers and the games may not show it right now, and we may not be seeing a great reaction right now. But 10, 15 years from now, we'll be a better soccer nation. Our national team will still suck, probably. We'll probably be in year 32 of the Sunil Bilotti, Jurgen Klinsmann era.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
We'll have fans, so.
That's right. We'll have fans. But before we got a couple minutes here, tomorrow night, and that'll be at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central at Soldier Field, home of the Bears, Chicago Bears. The USA and Costa Rica in Group A play. Well, my friend, what are we saying? What are we thinking here? You think they're going to regroup? You think we're going to see Nagby in the starting 11? Maybe Pulisic in the starting 11? What do we say here with Jurgen Klinsmann
far? I'm going to be so here's the sad thing about this. I just scheduled an interview during the whole thing. So during the 7 o'clock hour while I'm talking about the Colorado Rapids, I'm going to be cursing this team out. I have a sad thought that this Costa Rica team is going to be us. I just have this feeling. There's no spine to this team. There is nothing. I mean, it's an also-run team. It's nothing. I mean, Pulisic is good, but he's 17.
That's right.
Bagby's 24. Yeah, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're loving that Bobby Wood is good. He's young. So we're going to bow out of here, and then you're going to have the clickbait of everybody giving their opinions on Jurgen Klinsmann. I mean, I'm almost sick of it. I hope we win. I hope we put three goals in. I hope it's three goals by Pulisic so the fanboys can go buy more Bayern Munich stuff, not Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund stuff, and love everything about it, because I want to see it win. Sad thing is, it's probably not going to happen.
Yep. Absolutely. We'll see what happens then, and this is they have to win this game to remain relevant in the group, or else it's three and out. And then, of course, the eventual, or I don't know if there will be eventual, but, we'll see what happens if Gulati does the deed, maybe to say, Jurgen, it's either the coaching job or it's the technical director job, because something's got to give here. And, guys, see what's going to happen, because we all know. Mr. Watson from Vancouver was sent off in the game against Paraguay on Saturday night and Saturday afternoon, I should say, and that would be the end of that for Mr. Watson. So there could be an advantage there for the U.S. if they can go right down the middle and probably break through and maybe get a couple of goals.
I hope so, but rest assured, whatever happens after this tournament, Jurgen's not gone. They'll keep him until 2018. Just because in that contract's obscene.
Uh-huh.
So
it is.
They can't. Yeah, we're saddled with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What U.S. Soccer wants.
That's true. That's true. And we'll have to see what's going to happen if U.S. Soccer wants, U.S. Soccer gets, and let's see if they get 3 points because, you know, they got to go and get ready for some more World Cup qualifying in September when I know it's only St. Vincent Grenadines and Trinidad and Tobago, but, you know, still, you got to beat those teams to go and advance into the hexagonal and wait to see who else is going to advance out of the other two semifinal groups. And then we get to the hex in November, early this November, this hexagonal.
Shouldn't that be four different wins right there with those teams with hyphenated hyphenated countries?
Maybe. Maybe, but we'll have to wait and see, won't we? But
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So as the soccer ball is kicked, comes tomorrow night, of course, once again, the United States taking on Costa Rica in Chicago at Soldier Field. And that match is going to be on Fox Sports 1, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. And the other Group A match, which will be at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, Colombia taking on Paraguay, that will be also be on Fox Sports 1 at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific. So it's the late nighter, and we'll see what happens if these games are going to be interesting again. And finally, they've been ratcheted up to be a good game after this slow start. It hasn't actually, you know what, result-wise, it hasn't been that great, but now I think it's starting to finally get into gear. And I think the Brazil and Ecuador match was the real start of everything to go forward.
Yeah, good. I hope so, because Brazil's found their next young star in this, Gabriel Barbosa, or Gabigol, as he calls himself.
Yes.
Watch him. He's going to be fun. There's a bunch of young kids that are coming through in the next year or so that I'd be really interested to see that are coming out of this area, like Gabigol, Guerrero de Jesus, and there's a guy in Colombia, Moreno, there is going to be outstanding. So there's a bunch of kids, and heck, you probably watched the Mexican match. That Hervé Lozano kid, be amazing if he. If he was that good last night in 13 minutes, put him in there full time and watch him go.
Absolutely. Absolutely correct. And, you know, you're seeing some of the best players from South America in this tournament that probably normally wouldn't have this opportunity outside the names that we all know about. But still, we're seeing some great players coming out of these leagues, and of course they're ready to probably make the move to Europe. Of course, let's not forget, you'll see some of these players in the Olympics this coming late summer in Rio. Of course, none of our guys, unfortunately, but hopefully in the next Summer Olympic cycle, we'll have a much better under-23 squad. Probably Pulisic will be available for that one. Other than that, final thoughts, Stephen, on these great games so far?
And it's been a lot of fun. I've been glad I've been able to put my feet up and watch some of these games. So,
yeah, same here. It's been a fun couple of days so far, and hopefully let's have a little more fun. And let's hope the United States gets ready for tomorrow and really, you know, pedal to the metal, and let's make sure we get 3 points here. So, Stephen, thank you for calling in, and I will talk to you later.
Yeah, no problem.
And once again, everyone, thank you for listening to the special edition Four Scenes Fire American Soccer Show, the Copa America Centenario Day 4 review. For Stephen Brandt, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening tonight, and as always, please enjoy your football. And let's see what happens with the United States tomorrow night. Bye-bye for now.